When I was about 12 or 13 sometime, when I was in middle school, I was in a public school, I was in the middle school cafeteria at lunchtime. And I was sitting at the table with my food in front of me, with my friends, and from behind me, another student named Earl came up behind me, and he hit me on the shoulder, hit me very hard. I was short, I was scrawny, nothing's changed. Earl was short, but very muscular. And there wasn't any antagonism between us, but we were only casual acquaintances. And I just remember him, he kept hitting me, he kept punching my arm, and then he did it again and again, very hard, and I told him to stop. It hurt, it really hurt. He did it again, again, he wouldn't stop. I said, "Stop, Earl." I remember being angry. I remember extending my arm to just kind of hold him off. He grabbed my arm, and I shoved him back, and Earl fell onto his back, onto the floor of the cafeteria. And the entire cafeteria, I don't know how many were there, 200, 300, the entire cafeteria, all these middle schoolers got quiet and stared. Earl was strong, but Earl also had a severe walking impairment. His legs and his knees were strapped to these external steel braces. You could see it. You could tell by how he shuffled down the hall. The vice principal suddenly appeared, and he had these furry eyebrows that looked like this killer owl. He was very scary. And he sternly came up, "What just happened? What are you boys doing?" He heard both sides of it. It was only one side. And he forced us to apologize to one another. It was over. Now, I don't remember much, but I do remember not wanting to be struck, even though he kept striking me. And I especially did not want to be struck for no reason. At this table, Jesus wants us to remember this. He was struck. The members of the Sanhedrin, the high religious council, they struck him, and he answered not. And the Roman soldiers also struck Jesus. They mocked him, and he didn't answer back, and he didn't strike back. He did not return the blows. Jesus was struck without cause. He was struck for our iniquities. The beatings were for our peace, it says. And so at this meal, we take bread. In love, Jesus stood in our place in the body and was struck. And in this meal, we also take wine. In love, Jesus took the blows, took the lashings, took the cross to atone for our sins. So when you take the supper, this is what you're saying. Jesus, in the body, stood in my place, in his life, in his death, and in his resurrection. So Jesus has arranged this new Passover supper for us. And he says, "Do this in remembrance of me, and I will feed you as you do it." If you have come to know Jesus in this way, he's your Savior. He's your substitute sacrifice. He's your righteousness. If you're a member in good standing of a gospel-believing church, this supper, he invites you, he commands you to come and take of it. If you don't know Jesus in this way, we are glad that you're here. If you're not a Christian, we're glad that you're here. We invite you to remain here in the room with us. Don't take the supper. It's not for you. You don't want the obligations and the judgment that comes with it. But just sit back, take in the sight, take in the sound of it. We'd love to talk to you more about it. Now, as we come to the table, let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we come in faith. And we pray that you would take the bread and feed us with the body of Christ spiritually. We pray you would take the wine, his blood, and feed us, nourish the new life that you've begun in us, and make it to bear fruit. We long, Lord, to please you, bring about the good fruit, the good works, by the power of your Spirit working in us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.